Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast, hosted by Apostle Shirley Jones. She is the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, and we are located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Service on Sunday is at 10 a.m., and we would be honored to have you come out to worship and fellowship with us. We are indeed being blessed by the Lord every Sunday. We have Bible study via teleconference every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-432-3100. The access code is 386-279. Apostle Jones' book, Lifeline, When God Speaks, Volumes 1 and 2, can be purchased at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any place books are sold. You can also send your request to www.shirleyjjones.com. To purchase the books along with the worship CD birth during her time sitting before the Lord. Lifeline, When God Speaks, is a book of encouraging words that God gave for her life, and now she shares to encourage you in your journey. So be sure to get a copy. Apostle Jones can be reached via email at apostlesjones@rehobothflc.org. or by phone at 1-877-354-6082. She would love to hear from you. Remember, the broadcast is the first Monday of each month. Get the word out. Now, to Lifeline Broadcast with Apostle Shirley Jones.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining me tonight for the Lifeline broadcast. Once again, to God be all the glory. And as always, I like to just to honor and take time to honor the visionaries for this broadcast, Reverend Ray Rose. I thank God for him and the network. Just a powerful mission and a vision to be able to spread the gospel, that folks will be saved and encouraged to be true kingdom dwellers. And I'm so honored and glad to be a part of this network, especially now with so much going on. We need to be able to utilize every vehicle that we can to be able to get the word out about the good news of Jesus Christ. So I bless God for the visionary and all those that are part of this broadcast and to make it come alive and make it happen, so that we may be a blessing to those that just need to hear a word in this season. So to God be the glory, the honor, and the praise. Well, before I get into the message for tonight, I'd like to extend an invitation. During this time that the churches are asked to just to stay put, we've been doing our service, worship service, on Sunday via Facebook Live. So I'd love for you guys to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Rehoboth Family Life Center worship service via Facebook Live, or you can join us via teleconferencing, which is 712-775-8972, and the access code is 386279. So invite your family and friends to join in with you as well. This is such an awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. Amen? Amen. So we're going to go ahead. I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and jump into the word for tonight. So, Father God, we just bless you, God, and we just honor you, Lord God, and we give you praise. and we give you glory, God. We thank you for your loving kindness, O God, and your tender mercies, God. We thank you that, Father God, that we can always trust you, and we can wait on you, knowing that, God, that Father, that you have our best interests at heart. So, Father, I pray that even now, in the name of Jesus, that, God, that you would be glorified. I pray tonight that, God, that you would, Father God, give the people a listening ear. I pray that, God, that they not only hear the word, but, God, that they will be obedient to what they hear, that they will leave off this broadcast, God, feeling encouraged. I pray tonight that, God, that you would speak out of these clay lips. I pray that, God, that you would use me, Lord God, to be able to speak words of life. I pray that even I be blessed tonight. Oh, God, that I get a portion, God, of this tonight. And for that, my Lord, I am grateful. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And, Father, I will say that it was you, because it's always you. And for that, I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, amen. Well, last month, we were talking about prayer being our lifeline, and I kind of want to delve into that just a little bit deeper. I want to give it a subtitle, and tonight it's going to be Prayer is Our Lifeline, Focus and Negativity Killer. Hallelujah. Focused and negativity killer. That's what prayer does for us. Well, I hope and pray that you and your family are well. We serve such a faithful God that keeps and watch over us. So I am so very grateful tonight for this opportunity. Again, God is reminding us of the importance of power and of prayer. I stand in awe of God that at the very beginning of the year, he directed us to have prayer for our focus in 2020. Then I was speaking at a conference on March 14th, and a prophet spoke a word to me to stay with the series I have been teaching and not to let up until I see the manifestation and know that the teaching is preparing the house for the future. We serve such a strategic God, all-knowing God, who prepares us for even when we don't know what we're being prepared for. But when we follow his instructions, we reap the unseen benefit of it all. So tonight, I want to stay with prayer is our lifeline, focus and negativity killer. And when I say that, truly that I am in awe with God, because when God gave this directive to me the beginning of January, he said that this is the focus for the church, not knowing that all the things that are going on now, that prayer indeed would be the key element that we would need in our lives to be able to stand, to be able to trust, to be able to believe, and to be able to even move forward in these times. So when you think about it, indeed, prayer is one of the most important tools and weapons that we have been given to live as kingdom dwellers is prayer. Prayer is indeed essential for the believer's life. So when I think about lifeline, I kind of gave you guys this definition last month, but I want to do it again so that we can just tie it all together. Lifeline, what's the definition for lifeline? Lifeline is a line or a rope for saving life, something to grasp but when there is danger of falling or being washed away, support and assist at a critical time, it's aid, salvation, something regarded as indispensable for the maintaining or protection of life. Line used to keep contact with a person in a dangerous or potential dangerous situation. So therefore, think about it. We're talking about prayer. Prayer is our lifeline. Therefore, prayer will save our life. Prayer keeps us from falling or being washed away. Prayer supports and assists us at crucial times. Prayer aids us. Prayer is our salvation. Prayer is indispensable for the maintaining and protection of our life. Prayer keeps us in contact with Abba Father in dangerous or potential dangerous situations. Oh, glory to God. Prayer, indeed, is what we need to be holding on to during these times. We're in prayer now. We're in prayer. We need to stay in prayer because prayer, indeed, needs to be our lifeline. And I shared this about maybe 2 weeks ago with the service that we were having online, and the Lord said to continually just stay there a little bit tonight. And one of the things that he said, and I have been feeling this, that we're getting a little antsy. antsy. What does the word antsy mean? Antsy means to unable to sit or stand still. It means frigidity, apprehensive, uneasy, and nervous. And we've been in this situation now for many weeks. And I believe because the length of time now is about 7 or 8 weeks. I know for the church, we have been out of church maybe about eight weeks. And so in the beginning, it's like, okay, you know, we can do this for a little bit. But now I believe that we're starting to get a little antsy. The longer we're in it, the more antsy that we get. But I can say this to you tonight that, yeah, no, it has not been easy. It's not been easy at all. Some of us are in places that we've never been before. Some of us had to make drastic changes in our lives because life has flipped. It has shifted. We are no longer doing the things that we used to do, that we're in a whole nother realm of things, a whole nother spectrum of things, and it has not been easy. But the thing that I can attest to tonight, but God, hallelujah, but God has kept us. He's watched over us, and we're still here, y'all. We are still here, and the same God will forever be our stay. So it's just so important now that we have to remember that he is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. So let us not get antsy now, because when we start doing things, when we start getting antsy, we start doing things that make no sense and can be detrimental even to our lives. We got to be careful, y'all. Be careful of how much you are taking in from the media and other folks who are fearful, and even some folks that are just out of touch with reality. Be informed, but not absorbed. Not now, not now, not now, not now. Let your prayer strengthen you, give you wisdom, and make all provisions abound. Luke 18:1 says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I'm reminded, as I'm sitting here, I'm reminded of all the things that are happening in the earth now, and you have a lot of people that are protesting, that they want to be set free. They don't want to stay at the home. They don't want to have the mandate to wear masks, and so many things that people just don't want to do. And that is just so unrealistic. But see, what happens when you become antsy, you start taking in other people's views. You start thinking about, you know, you don't want to do this and you don't want to do that. I just want to go back to norm. But norm has been burnt up, y'all. Norm, we will never, this is just how I feel, we will never, ever look like what we used to look like. So we have to get into this place now that we're staying before God so that God can temper us, God can keep us, God can direct us, and God can be our stay. Important as never before, that prayer indeed has to be our lifeline. That's the thing that we have to hold on to as kingdom dwellers and believers of the Almighty God. We have to trust him even in this. And there's a lot of things that will try to draw our attention right now. And I said this yesterday for church, is like, I'm not playing down the fact that people are dying. People have lost jobs. People are going through a lot of traumatic things in their lives. But even in the midst of all that, we have to hold on to, but we serve a God that's going to keep us. We have to serve we're going to serve a God that we believe that our Redeemer lives, and that God's going to bring us out of this situation, that he still remains God. And the only thing that's sure right now is prayer, that I have to stay in God's face. Prayer has got to be my lifeline, because if I don't pray, I'm going to start to get antsy. And when I get antsy, I'm going to follow the instructions of somebody who don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, think about this, y'all. There are people right now that are running with all kinds of theories and all kinds of predictions, and they still don't really know the truth of the matter. Every time they hit a place and they say, okay, we got this under control, then five or six other things bounce out that they didn't see before. So it's still a mystery even to the scientists and to the doctors. But we know a God, hallelujah, oh glory, we know a God that knows all about this virus. We know a God who's not asleep. We know a God that is powerful. He knows where it is. He knows the original release of where it came from. He knows the speed of it. He knows the direction of it. He knows the strength of it. He knows the antidote for it. He knows how long it's going to be, how wide it is, how deep it is. He knows all the components that go with it. So even when man doesn't know, because there's no textbooks that can tell us about this, there's no intellectual theory that can tell us about this, they're still gathering data, and they're looking at the data to try to come up with some whys and some hows. But we know a God, oh glory, hallelujah, we know a God that knows all things. They're still trying to figure out, so when do we open the gate, and what is going to look like on the other side when we have to come out of this mandate. But if we are connected to God, I believe that God is going to strengthen us, God is going to talk to us, he's going to direct us, and he is going to lead us. So it's so important, y'all. We got to strap down right now. Strap down in prayer, because this is not the time to just jump out, because that can be detrimental for your life, and not only for your life, but your family's life. Hear me now, that you can bring danger to yourself and to your family if you are not listening to God, but you're listening to even the media, and besides just being informed. But if you absorb yourself in this stuff, you can get to the point where it overtakes you and overpowers you, and to the point that you're just trying to get out, just go out, do something. I got to have something that's normal. But this is not the time to do that. We got to wait on the Almighty God to show us and lead us in what direction that we need to go. So let's look at this tonight. Come on, y'all. Let's look at this tonight and what happens when we move out of order, and when and how to stay put. How do we do it? And why do we do it? And what happens when we don't do it? Let's look at King Saul. And King Saul, remember when he was told to wait for the prophet Samuel, and what happened? We've got to wait, y'all. We got to wait. We got to wait. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. It says, "And thy shall go down before me." This is Samuel talking to King Saul. He said, "Thy shall go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shall thy tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thy shall do." And this is right when Samuel anointed him to be king. And he told him, he said, "Now, these are further instructions I have for you, but I need you to go and I need you to wait, and I will be there." He said, "Tarry there till I come, and then I will show you what to do." But when you look at 1 Samuel 13, verse 6 to 14, it says, "When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people following him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering, and it came to pass." It came to pass, hear me now, it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou did not come in the time appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Oh, glory to God. Right here. Remember, Samuel told Saul, he said, to go and wait until I come, and I will show you what to do. But right before Samuel got there, and I believe that it was on the seventh day, and it might have been in the morning, and Saul did not see Samuel yet, and the people were scared, and the people were about to stone him, and the Philistines were about to take over, and fear began to grip him. And he said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to do the burnt offerings, and I'm going to put on my priestly anointing, which he was not a priest. He was called to be king. So right there it says that when he did that, it says as soon as, oh glory to God, as soon as Saul did this, who comes on board but Samuel? And he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, I told you I was coming, but I believe that it was the morning of, and it was still on the seventh day, but he didn't come till later in the day. But see how that can happen, that right when, and I'm thank you, Lord, right when God is about to bless us, when he's about to provide for us, the enemy always, he will always cause us to be able to become fearful. He causes us to become antsy. And what happens when we become antsy, then we start to do things that we should not be doing that's outside of the scope of God. Remember, King Saul said, I forced myself. He forced himself. In other words, fear took over. And because he couldn't think straight, his mind told him, you got to do something because Samuel ain't here, and these folks are scared, and they about to stone you. You got to do something. But see, he needed to have waited, because as soon as he put on that priestly anointing, which was not even the anointing, it was a priestly duties that he took on, but he was not called to be a priest. He was only called to be king. So we have to be very careful during this time. Stay in your lane. Stay in the place in which God is calling you to operate in. Do not allow fear, doubt, or anything. The words of the people, you got to get to a place where you're cutting off even voices. People are calling and people are saying what they think. You see all kinds of things. People are sending videos and all kinds of stuff. Some of the stuff is just ridiculous. And if you listen to all the stuff that people are sending and you're reading all these articles and you got the TV on all day, well, guess what? That thing is going to consume you. But the thing that we need to be consumed with right now, we've got to consume ourselves with prayer. We've got to absorb ourselves in the things of God. We have to get in the Word, and prayer has got to be our lifeline. Saul said, I forced myself. I did it because I was afraid. I listened to the people. They were afraid. They were about to stone me. They were about to come up against me. I forced myself to do this. So when you become emotionally, I call it emotionally imbalanced, where you start to just think of some things you need to do, and then somebody calls you and they tell you some crazy stuff, you got to cut that stuff off. If somebody's not calling you saying, hey, you know, this too is going to pass, why don't we pray together? Why don't we fast together? Why don't we get in the Word together? If they're not calling with something positive, then you got to cut the conversation off. Do not allow people to spill negativity into your ear gate. Do not allow people to spread rumors or what they think that has no validity, has no bearing on what God has said that things are going to be. He said, I force myself. I force myself. And here, now he was king, and now because he did something that he was not supposed to do, Saul told him, Samuel told Saul, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord has commanded thee, the kingdom shall not continue with you. When we are out of place, hallelujah, when we are doing things that does not line up with the will of God, the instructions of God, the strategies of God, we are going to lose. We're going to lose stuff. We may even lose family members and our lives and our job, something. We're going to lose something, y'all. Come on. We're in a place now with the enemy. The enemy wants us to get antsy. He wants us to think that we got to try to figure this thing out. But no, we don't. What we have to do is stay connected to God. Let's not force ourselves to do some things that outside of the scope of God and the will of God, the purpose of God, the direction and strategies of God. Let's not do that because, like Saul, as soon as, because right now I believe, I know by the Spirit that this too is going to pass, but we have got to stay put. We've got to stay put. We've got to follow the mandates of the land, whatever they're telling us to do. We're not losing our rights. We got people protesting that we're losing our rights. No, we're not. What is God saying? He's not telling us to go back out there and start just having parties and hanging out with a bunch of folk. He ain't saying that. Look at the numbers. That's one of the things that I loved about Governor Hogan. Of Maryland, what he said was, somebody said, well, they're out there protesting that they want to be free and that you're holding them in bondage. So this is what he said just the other day. He said, but when I look and there are more people dying in one day than the people that are protesting, he said, I ain't got nothing to say to that. I said, you go, Governor, you go. He said, I'm not moved by that. He said, my concern is about the people. My concern is not by a few people that are unrealistic, that's talking us a bunch of stuff that they don't have no clarity about, no real reason, no real backing behind. But somebody has gotten to their ear. They've heard some stuff, even from the government, that makes no sense to them. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. But we've got to be able to hear God during the season, y'all. Don't let us be force ourselves to do something that's detrimental and we lose. We got to watch what we speak and we got to watch what we listen to. You got to watch what you listen to. I'm hearing people are sending me all this stuff and I'm like, no, you know, she don't even look like she know what she's talking about. I'm going to listen to her. Not so. I try to listen to the briefings when they were having them, just to stay informed, but it got so it wasn't even anything that was informative. It was attacks. It was lies. It was all kinds of stuff that was happening. I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm just done. So we have to be very careful in what we're speaking and what we're listening to. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We have the power to speak life, and we have the power to speak death. We have the power to speak something positive, and we can speak something negative. It's our decision. No matter what you speak, whether it's positive or negative, the word tells us that you shall eat the fruit thereof. The fruit can be pleasant, or the fruit can be rotten, depending on what we speak. Come on now, come on. Now, if we stay before God, it's not easy. I am not trying to act like none of this stuff is easy, because all of us are being called to do things that we've never done before. But we serve a God that's strategic. We serve a God that's creative. We serve a God that will show us how to do it, when to do it. He'll show us, and he'll keep us. Even when we're tired, he'll keep us. Even when we may not know what to do, but if we hasten to the throne of grace, if we stay before God, God will give us witty inventions, even strategies of how to get all of this stuff done. If we stay before him, we got to be able to speak life and not death to our own self. We got to be able to say, but this too shall pass. But there are things that I'm learning during this time that I need to learn so I can utilize it when I go forward into this next part, because there is a next part. Oh, glory to God. Saul could not wait. He got antsy, but we've got to be a place where we can wait on the Almighty God. David is a prime example of how we wait. This is when David was him and his some of the men had left, and they went and they fought a battle, and they got back to the camp, and when they got back, they had found out that the enemy had come in and taken their wives and their children. And 1 Samuel 30, it says at 6 and 8, it says, David was greatly distressed. Now, here it is. They come back from a battle, and the men now find out that their wives and their children are gone, that they have taken them. And so David said, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. These folks loved stoning folks, didn't they? Stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, hear me, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And you know what? And David recovered all and some. Oh, glory to God. And I used this scripture before at church, and I asked some of the brothers, I say, hey, guys, what would y'all do if you came home and you found out that your wives were gone and your children were gone? What would you do? You know, the brothers were like, I wouldn't be like, I'm going to pray. He was like, I would have to just, you know, load up and go out and get my peoples back. But David didn't do that. He was about to be stoned. And some of these, they were his wives and his children were the ones that were taken. But it said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. They was about to stone David. His folks is gone. But David said, well, hey, let me pull up. Let me not be rash, but let me go before the Almighty God and let me ask him what I should do. Even in a strait, even in a situation that would break you down. But David said, I need to encourage myself in the Lord. I need to get before him and ask him what I need to do. And so when he began to pray before God, God told him to pursue. He said, should I pursue after this troop? Should I overtake them? And the Lord answered him and told him, thou shalt pursue and thou shalt surely overtake them. And we know how the story went. David and his men, they went and they got their folk back, and not only did they get their peoples back, but they were able to get some spoils. So they got some, they got recovered all, and they got some more. Oh, glory to God. So that's where we have to be, that regardless of how tight it get, regardless of what it looks like, let's not be like Saul, but let's be like David, and let's get before God and ask God, what should I do in this situation? There's some places right now that we don't have answers for, but I know a God that knows everything. God is not asleep. God is not lost. God is not confused. God is not taken on his blind side. God knows everything and is everything. So regardless of what it looks like, it's doing those tight places that the enemy would like for us just to spaz out and do something crazy. But when it's like that, we gotta strap our own stuff down. Oh, glory to God. And get before God and ask God to show us what to do. Be still and know that I'm God. We gotta be still and know that he is God and that he's more than able to bring us out of any given situation, and there is nothing too hard for God to do. Right now, it's, you know, we're in this thing like 7-8 weeks, you know, some of us maybe 9 weeks, you know, and they still has not lifted a lot of things for us in this area. But we've got to trust God at the appointed time that the gate's going to open and we'll be able to go. But when we go, we got to go different, y'all. We got to go strengthened. We got to go fortified. We've got to go because God says now it's time to go. I was talking to an apostle today, and we were talking about how, you know, even when they open the gate for us to go back as a church, that we got to hear God. We have to hear God to say that it's time to go back. We have to hear God as leaders. We have to hear God tell us how to prepare the church, and so it's a safe haven for the people. We can't just jump out there and just go back because things have changed. There are things that we need to put in place. We're starting to have conversation about what are some of the things that we need to do different when we do go back. We can't just jump out there with no plan and no strategy, but this is what we get from the Almighty God. And that's what David did. He said, should I pursue? Should I pursue? That seems like that would have been a given. Yeah, you go get your peoples. But David said, no, I'm going to trust God, that God will give me the direction in which I need to do. So come on, y'all, let's remain focused. Let's stay before God and allow God to lead us and guide us during this time. Let us not get antsy. Let us not be fearful. Let us not just jump out and start doing things and forcing ourselves to do things, because it will be detrimental for you and your family. Let's think about that. It will be detrimental to be jumping out there without a strategy, without a vision from the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Elijah. Elijah, remember Elijah. Elijah held on to what he was told. And the reason why he could do this, because he had experience with God. And this is another thing, y'all, that you, all of us have had an experience or another with God. God has done something in your life before. Well, he's the same God. His mercies don't fade. His mercies are inexhaustible. And that if God ever did anything for you, that you can count on him now, that he is the same God. And if he brought you out of that, and he brought you out of that, and he brought you out of that, then God can keep us and bring us out of where we are now. And this is what I love about Elijah, because remember early on in the book of Kings, what Elijah was able to do. Remember when he was told that there was going to be no dew or rain upon the land, and God told him to go and get by the brook, and he said that I'm going to send you ravens, and they're going to bring you milk, they're going to bring you bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and you can drink from the brook. He told him, I'm making provisions for you. But look at the kind of provisions that God told him. You know, ravens are nasty little birds, and how much food could they bring him in the morning and at night? And he had to drink from the brook. But then the brook dried up. But then when the brook dried up, God further gave him instructions to go to the widow woman and talk to her, and she will provide for you. So Elijah kept having these experiences with God, so that when he got to the next experience and the next experience, he could pull from that and he can say, but I remember when God brought me out of that. And I remember when God provided for me in that. Well, God's going to do it again. Over in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and it said, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He spoke what God told him to speak. And see, that's where we are now. You've got to hear God. Oh, glory. We got to be able to hear him during this time, so that we can speak what he tells us to speak. We can believe what he tells us to believe, and us to go forth in that time. Well, 1 Kings 18:1, it says, and it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Remember, he said there was going to be no rain or dew upon the land. That was taking place for 3 years. And finally, after the third year, the Lord spoke to him. He says, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Right here, he's given him instruction. He told him there would be no rain. And Elijah said, but I can believe this God, because He sent the ravens. They fed me some meat and some bread, and I ate from the brook. And after the brook dried up, he showed me where I needed to go after that. So now there has been no rain upon the earth. No rain upon the earth for 3 years. 3 years. But now God comes and tells him that I'm about to send rain upon the earth. 1 Kings 18:41-46. And it said, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and drink and eat, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. I want to stop right there. He said, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. There were no clouds. There was no wind. There was nothing. But he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Where did he hear it at? He heard it in his spirit. He heard it because God had spoken, told him. So God gave him a vision, and he could hold on to that. So he said, I'm about to send rain upon the earth. And because God spoke it, he now could see it. Oh, he could feel that thing. He could hear what he couldn't really see in the natural, but he could see it in the spirit. And because he could see it, because God painted a picture, now he could hear it. Oh, glory to God. He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up, and he looked, and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was what? A great rain. Remember, he said, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. And now we have, there was a great rain. And Elijah knew all this before there was wind, before the heavens was dark with clouds, and then the rain came. Why? It's because God spoke a word to him and told him that I'm about to send rain upon the earth. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And what I like about Elijah, what he did was he went on the top of the mountain, because a lot of times when you are going through, you need to separate yourself. He went to the top of the mountain where there was nobody else out there. He didn't need to hear people's voices. He didn't need to concur with anybody. He needed to get on his face. He put his face in between his knees. He didn't even look to see with his eyes. Oh, glory to God, because he had a witness in his spirit that God told him that I'm sending rain, so he didn't have to look. What he had to do was keep praying and thanking God for what God was about to do, because God said so. He didn't go look. He sent the servant. He said, what you see? Servant, I don't see anything. What you see? I don't see anything. What you see? I don't see anything. The servant probably had to say, is he for real? I done went five times, six times, and he keep telling me to go back. I don't see any clouds. I don't see nothing. But on the seventh time, oh, glory to God, he said he saw a cloud out the size of a man's hand on the seventh time. Hallelujah. But Elijah never moved. He was not moved by the report of his servant not seeing anything, because he knew that sooner or later, oh, glory to God, that it was going to happen, because God said so. He says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. He heard the abundance of rain before there was a cloud, before there was darkness, before there was anything. Because why? Because God spoke it. Come on, y'all. Come on. He stayed on his face. He kept his face between his knees. He didn't look to the left nor to the right. He just stayed. He stayed planted in prayer before God. And that's what we got to do, y'all. Sometimes you got to just close off everything. You got to get before God, not talking to a whole bunch of people, especially people that's talking some stuff that don't line up with the word of God. Come on now. Come on. Sometimes you got to close yourself off and get quiet before God and begin to speak those things to be not as if they are. Elijah knew what God said. He had history with God. See, right now, come on, y'all. We need to pull on some of our experiences. What have God done for you in the past? Has God been faithful? Has God showed you great and mighty things? Have God come and got you out of situations even that nobody don't know about? Some things you ain't told everybody, but you know that it was nobody but God that came and got you out of that. And had God not come, where would you be today? I can attest to that. I am so grateful for all the holes that God has pulled me out of, all the nasty places that I found myself in. But God came and he got me. So I know that God can keep me, because he has kept me in situations, even with bad choices and bad decisions. But nonetheless, God has kept me. He's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, he's done the same thing for you. So during this time, come on, come on. If you got to take a piece of paper and write down those things that God has done for you in the past and post it on your wall. And I've shared my list. I have a list, and I've had this list now for, it's going on 3 years, and it's posted not only on my wall, but it's posted in my phone. And it said, the Lord is. What has he been to me? He's been my friend. He's been my savior. He's been my joy. He's been my peace. He's been my deliverer. He's been my healer. He's been my way maker. He's been my all in law. He's been my wisdom. He's been my friend. Oh, he's been my help in the time of trouble. He's opened doors. He's closed doors. He's loved me. Oh, he's made ways out of nowhere for me. He's established my life. He's kept my family. He's shown me his ways. He's taught me his word. He's given me a charge for my life. I'm grateful to God. See, sometimes you got to remind yourself all the wonderful things that God has done for you so that during times like this that you have history with God and you can call on those things and say, well, if God did that and God brought me out of this, then God's going to keep me now. Come on, Elijah was not moved by what the servant said. He knew that God said he's about to send rain, and because of his history in the past, he could just keep his face in his knees and just pray. Oh, pray. See, sometimes you gotta pray till you see it come to pass. You gotta pray until it manifests upon the earth. Because when we hit it in prayer, you'll see it in the spirit before it manifests on the earth. What you see in the spirit, you can call, and that thing will manifest upon the earth. Come on now, y'all. Come on, we got history with God. God has saved us. God has called us. God has delivered us. God has done great things in our lives wherein we shall be glad. And God has not stopped now. This is not the time to get antsy. This is not the time to force ourselves to do some things outside of the will of God. But just let's stay focused. Let's stay before him and be what he's called us to be. Prayer kills negativity. Everything that's not God, as you begin to pray, it will break down negativity. Remember, the servant kept saying no, but Elijah kept praying. Oh, and his prayer cut down the no, and his prayer produced the yes. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Yay, God. His prayer cut down the no, and his prayer produced the yes. And the yes was, the abundance of rain turned into now great rain. The manifestation of it came to pass. Oh, come on now. Come on. Let's be able to get on our face, stay on our face before God during this time, and let prayer be our lifeline, and let it kill every negative spirit that shows up, every spirit of doubt, every spirit of fear, that we be able to say, but God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Oh, my mind is sound. I don't care what the enemy is saying. I don't care what it looks like, but God, you said. You said you would never leave us. God, you said you'd never forsake us. And God, I'm going to stand there, God, until you tell me something else. Oh, God, when I don't know what to do, God, you'll show it to me, God. Oh, some of us are doing things now that we've never had to do before. Oh, some of us are homeschooling our children. Some of us are working from home. Some of us have maybe even lost our job. But God will show us what to do in every given situation. Let's stay before him. Let's stay before him. Let's stay before him. Prayer will strengthen us. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he began to pray and he said, if this cup could pass, he said, but nevertheless, excuse me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed three times. And as he prayed each time, he became strengthened and strengthened and strengthened so he can finally say, but not my will, but thy will be done. Come on, this is the season. This is the time that we have to get before God. We have to get before God and hunker down. Hunker down. Hunker down. I kept hearing that word before, hunker down. We got to hunker down. Hunker down means to hide out or take shelter, to hold stubbornly to a policy, opinion when confronted by criticism, opposition, or unfavorable circumstances. Oh, glory to God. Let us hunker down in prayer that we may stay focused, our minds being guarded against negativity. We got to wait on instructions and strengthening. God is faithful, and he will continue to take care of us. Let's just stay put, stay put, stay put, stay put, and know that this too shall pass. And when it comes time for us to come out, we're coming out stronger and we're coming out wiser if we stay before the Almighty God in prayer and letting prayer be our lifeline. Let's hunker down. Let's stay put. Let's get before God. He is our shelter. He's our hideout. He's the place that we can run into. It says, hasten to the throne of grace. Let's stay before God, y'all. Let's stay before God. That every negative spirit got to go. Everything that does not line up with God and the will of God, we can pray and cast it down and say, God, but we're going to trust you. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to listen for instructions so I'll know what to do and how to do it. So I pray that tonight, that everybody on this line, that we don't be antsy, and no matter how long we got to stay, that if God has kept us this long, God will take us another. We got to go another however long. That if God has kept us this far, God will keep us the rest of the way, y'all. Come on, let's not get antsy. Let's not force ourselves to do something that will be detrimental to us and our family. But let's get on our face. Let's hunker down in our hiding place, our hideout in God, so that he can lead us and guide us in everything that we're confronted with now. So I just pray that for you tonight. I pray that you are covered in the blood of Jesus. I pray that your mind is guarded. I pray that your family be safe. I pray that everything that you need will be provided. I pray that there will be no lack in your life. I pray now healing upon this line tonight. I even pray if there's anyone that you know that is sick, I pray for them, every family member, every friend. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. We pray even now for the doctors and the hospital staff and all the essential workers and everybody who's putting their life on the line to serve us. I pray for them tonight, God. I pray that you would even send your angels, God, to raise up those that are sick, God. I pray that the breath of life would blow upon them, God. I pray that their lungs, God, would open up, God. I pray that the sickness and disease would leave. God, I pray even now, God, that the virus would dry up. Father God, that you would speak to it, God. Oh, God, and it would cause it to stop. God, I pray that now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, let us stay, God. Let us stay on our face, God. Let us ever be before you, Lord God. Let us not get antsy, but let us stay in our hideout, which is you. As we hunker down, God, we'll hide out with you. So we bless you tonight, and we honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I just want to say even tonight before we get off the broadcast, if there's anybody on this line, anybody's on this line tonight, and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and you're saying, preacher, I just can't do this by myself. And I say, you're right, you can't. But I know a God that can keep you. I know a God that will make ways out of nowhere for you. So I ask that you would just pray this with me tonight and just say, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and that you would take my life and make it new. I ask for forgiveness. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. But tonight, I ask for forgiveness, and I ask that my life becomes new. I would take my life, and you would cause my life to be what you call it to be before the beginning of time. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, hallelujah. We bless God tonight. And if you were that one or those two or three, how many people might be on the line that just said yes to the Lord tonight, then I ask that you would just call me or go to my website or the church's website and send me an email, and I would love to talk to you. I would love to give you some additional information and just lead you to some things that I know that will be a blessing to your life. Well, guys, thank you for hanging out with me tonight. I bless God for each one of you. I will continually keep you guys in prayer. Once again, join us on Sunday at 10 o'clock. We're on Facebook Live where we're spreading the gospel. We're evangelizing. We're doing what God has commissioned us to do. So I pray from this day forward that you would walk in the precepts of God, that you would stay hunkered down and you would be in your hideout and you will stay with God and let God cover you and let him be what he wants to be in your life. I pray for you and your family, and that you would be able to declare indeed that this too shall pass. And when we come out of this thing, we'll come out stronger, we'll come out wiser, and we'll come out better in Jesus' name. Well, thank you guys again, and join me next month. I pray that you have a good rest of the week. I pray that you will stay focused. I pray that your prayer will kill everything that's negative, and you shall walk in the blessings of God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't forget, invite some folks to hang out with us next month on the broadcast, and please hold now for the final message. Love you guys, and be blessed.
We thank you for joining us on the Lifeline broadcast, and pray you've been blessed. Again, our church is Rehoboth Family Life Center, located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Apostle Jones would love to hear from you. She can be reached via Apostle S. Jones at RehobothFLC.org or by dialing 1-877-354-6082. Until next month's broadcast, good evening and God bless.